Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, July 10th on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey, Steve on his way in to the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. We're also online at stevejonesshow.com. Miss any of our shows, you can find 3 months of shows archived on our podcast page. And speaking of the podcast, we can also get the shows to your smartphone and tablet when you subscribe on either iTunes, Apple Podcast app, or Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Once they're done live on WKOK, we drop them right to your mobile device less than an hour later, so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. So that'll be perfect for the Penn State football fan, as we're now for sure less than a month away from media day at Beaver Stadium and team practicing. Get three or so weeks of practices in the books before opening day on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And a guy, speaking of college football, a guy who was running the Senior Bowl for several years. Had him on back in May, Phil Savage. He was teasing us, though, back then. He couldn't tell us what the next chapter of his professional career is. So hopefully we'll find that from Phil Savage later today. Little foray into pro football. Details on that coming up. And our email is stevejones at wkok.com. Don't hesitate to contact us anytime, stevejones at wkok.com. Semifinals are underway in the World Cup in Russia. Belgium and France scoreless at the half. Then the other semifinal will take place tomorrow, Croatia versus England. Winners of both of those games will move to the World Cup championship coming up on Sunday. So no show here yesterday because of Phillies baseball. It was a doubleheader. Game one of the doubleheader was a rescheduled game that was snowed out earlier in the season between the Mets and Phillies at Citi Field. Aniel De Los Santos and Drew Gagnon probably already in their hotel rooms last night when the Phillies and Mets played the second game of that doubleheader. Both of them watched Aaron Nola and Corey Oswalt set a pretty high standard, and both of them will make their major league debuts tonight.
Nola did it all.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Now, it was brought up on our Facebook page, and it's absolutely right. And I completely agree with those who have posted on our Facebook page. Why is Aaron Nola the only Philly in the All-Star game? I mean, now I know it's a meaningless exhibition. I know you get up, you know, I mean, my odds of watching you next week are going to be long. I mean, because I'm on vacation next week.
That's right.
I mean, no offense, but watching the All-Star game when I can play with my grandkids is not going to be a high priority. Yeah, at all. But the Phillies should have more than one All-Star. Now, what part of what holds you back is every team has to have an All-Star. Okay? But the reason, there's a big reason why the Phillies should have multiple All-Stars. A, they deserve it. But also, the other part is, they're in the weaker league. And there's no dominant team in the National League. There's no dominance. So in the American League, well, I mean, you're going to tell me you're only going to take one member of the Red Sox? You're going to tell me you're going to take one member of the Yankees, one member of the Mariners, one member of the Houston Astros? They're dominant teams. They're all playing over 600 ball. All right, so obviously you're going to take multiple from them. Who deserves multiple in the National League? Nobody's, you know, they're teams like the Phillies are playing well, but they aren't great. And that's everybody. Dodgers, everybody. But baseball also continues to be archaic in so many ways. And one of them is this. Do you realize that the players, when they vote on reserves, have to mail in the selection? They have to mail it in. They have to put it in an envelope and mail it. They can't sit there on their iPad the day before the selection and tap in who they want on a secure card. Do you realize that? They have to mail it in. Oh, you wonder why at times they give you that 1950s feeling. Oh. Phil Savage, by the way, today in the Alliance of American Football, you're going to really, really like the segment we have with him. The Alliance of American Football has eight teams. They're going to play in the spring. Rick Neuheisel, in fact, is going to be Phil's coach in Phoenix. And this is going to be that transition league between college and the NFL. A big damn. Phil had to stop being the color analyst for Alabama football with Eli because he was going to try and do both. He was going to keep his Alabama job. And all of a sudden they start looking at the scheduling. It's like September 1st is cut down day in the NFL. Well, now they got to start like going through and they start getting personnel because those players that are cut are the ones that are going to go to the Alliance. Let me give you a good example of a guy, right, that could really benefit from this. Christian Hackenberg can absolutely benefit from this. And where you can just show under real conditions with good coaching, I mean, Mike Martz and Mike Riley, Steve Spurrier, Rick Neuheisel, Mike Singletary are among the coaches. Steve Spurrier are among the coaches in this alliance. And it's that mid-level between, it's going to be mid-level between college and the NFL. And they're not there to compete with the NFL. They're there to supplement it. Same thing with the CFL. They're there to supplement it. We're going to talk to Phil Savage today. Look forward to having him on the show. The Phillies should have more than one all-star. And the fact that they don't is wrong. But Aaron Nola is a great pick. Nola has been tremendous. In fact, I think, although I do believe strongly that Max Scherzer is going to be the starting pitcher in the all-star game if he's on rotation. You know, the game's in Washington. And Scherzer's had a great year. But if Nola were picked to be the all-star starter, he would absolutely deserve it. And now he's proven he can hit. They have the Mets tonight, by the way. Yesterday was part of that makeup. That's why they played an old-fashioned doubleheader, by the way. No separate admissions. I like that old-fashioned doubleheader. Remember, Memorial Day... 1971. I convinced my dad to take me to a doubleheader at Fenway with the Royals. The Red Sox, by the way, did lose both games. But we drove up and it was drizzling out, and I was like, "Oh, so because I took care of everything. I got us the tickets, the whole thing." And, you know, then my dad did it with Kevin the next year, going to a Yankee game, which was really cool. But the old-fashioned doubleheader, no separate admissions. All right, let's get into some numbers here. As we know, baseball is struggling. Now, financially, they're not struggling. I mean, let's be straight. Financially, baseball is not struggling. But is there short-term gain for long-term problems? Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe wrote an article in yesterday's paper, a column in yesterday's paper. And courtesy of the Globe, this is what he wrote yesterday. He said, the Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball is losing in every way. Now, again, you're hearing this from a person, I love baseball. Okay. This is what he wrote in the Boston Globe, and I think it was in yesterday's Globe. The Red Sox Sunday completed their three-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Aggregate score, Boston 32, Kansas City 13. The Sox are now 62-29. They won again last night, 5-0 over Texas. They're 63-29 now. They're 34 games over 500. The Royals have lost 9 straight, 27-31. Kansas City is now 39 games under 500. The Sox come home Monday and get to play last place Texas for the next 3 nights. Then we'll get a weekend look at the, as he puts it, morbid Blue Jays, who are 20 games out of first place. On and on it goes. Meaningless game after meaningless game as the Red Sox put up cartoonish numbers while we wait for the real games to start in October. So much winning. Now, the Phillies are in a different spot, by the way. The Phillies are in a race right now, and they're not running away with anything. This isn't exactly breaking news, but as great as the Sox weekend was, as scalding hot as the Sox are now, my takeaway, Dan Shaughnessy's, is that Major League Baseball is in trouble. As much as I love the game, I can no longer defend all things that are hurting the sport. So now he gets into what he thinks is hurting the sport. And a lot of this I cannot argue with, Sean. You may have an argument, and I'd like to hear it. There are too many bad teams. Correct. The once proud Orioles are 41 games under 500. Can you believe that? They're 41 games under 500. The Orioles. I mean, these are the Orioles of Frank Robinson, Brooks Robinson, Mike Cuellar, Dave McNally, Jim Palmer, Bobby Gritch, Merv Rettman, Cal Ripken Jr., Eddie Murray. Oh, my goodness. They're 41 games under. There are too many non-competitive games. Correct. There are too many strikeouts. Correct. There are not enough balls in play. Correct. Baseball stars are increasingly anonymous. Correct. You know, Forbes puts out the top 100 around the world. There's not one baseball player in the group. Do you know that? The only guy that's cracked it in the last 4 years has been Mike Trout. Is it any surprise that Major League Baseball attendance is taking a hit? 21 of the 30 teams are down from last year, and baseball is on a pace for its lowest total attendance since 2003. Folks are staying away, and who can blame them? The product is not keeping up with the times, and it's not very good. That's his opinion. Here in baseball-savvy Boston, the Old Town team is playing at a near-record pace. But it seems that local sports fans only want to talk about the Celtics and NBA free agency, Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. Try to find a good baseball conversation. Spend an hour alternating between the Sports Hub and WEEI and take note of how little baseball conversation you hear, unless it's another caller calling in to complain about David Price. He is, you know, up in Boston. He's kind of like, okay, we're paying him how much? Baseball has become the sanctuary of senior citizens. Hardcore baseball fans are the same people who have landlines still in their homes and still read daily newspapers. Anybody see my sporting news lately? Pace of play has made the game largely unwatchable. The outstanding Tom Verducci, Penn State grad, recently put his stopwatch to work and calculated that the average time between balls in play, 3 minutes and 45 seconds. This is unacceptable. It is killing the sport. There is simply not enough action. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe goes on to write, strikeout inflation is a big part of the problem. I have grown to hate strikeouts. A strikeout used to be a measure of a pitcher's dominance. Not anymore. Everybody strikes out all the time. A 10-strikeout effort by a starting pitcher is no longer a big deal. For the first time in history, baseball features more strikeouts than hits. This will be the 11th consecutive season in which Major League Baseball sets a record for strikeouts. One of the problems is that the players don't think there's a problem. Shaughnessy writes, the hitters have no regrets about striking out. He's right about that. They don't change their approach with two strikes. They just keep on hacking and missing. It's all about launch angle and exit velocity. Spot on. USA Today recently polled 63 big leaguers, and the results demonstrated a stunning lack of awareness. Players evidently do not believe that today's strikeout glut or the snail-like pace of play present any problem. More than half the players polled said they are unconcerned about a game that now features primarily walks, strikeouts, and homers. 93% of players who responded believe that the lack of action is okay. Asked if pace of play changes are working, one player remarked, you assume that there was a problem in the first place. There are simply not enough competitive games, especially in 2018. The Orioles are on a pace to lose 118 games. The Royals are on a pace to lose 116. The White Sox are on a pace to lose 108. Analytics are out of control. Yes. Even Commissioner Rob Manfred agrees. Manfred recently told The Athletic, there is a growing recognition that analytics have produced certain trends in the game that we may need to be more proactive about reversing. The owners feel that way. There are fans that feel that way. Meanwhile, as the game is taken over by geeks, his word, the players become more faceless. Mike Trout, great player. Why isn't he as popular and as well known as Kevin Durant or Steph Curry? The 2018 Red Sox are winning almost 70% of their games, but are studiously bland. Boston's clubhouse is populated by polite young men who are careful with their words, rarely interesting, and never provocative. Now, again, that's not the player's fault. You can't ask the players to do your job for you to make it more exciting, okay? If that's the way they are, it's the way they are. It's as if they are trained to drain the color from their commentary. J.D. Martinez is having a Triple Crown-worthy season, but would likely not be recognized if he strolled around the seaport at lunchtime. Is that Mitch Moreland, Brandon Workman, Matt Barnes, or J.D. Martinez? No controversy, no color. Again, that's not the player's fault at all. Zero. He says, there's not a Wade Boggs or an Oil Cam Boyd in the bunch. Sometimes that's good. There is no all-world point guard insisting that the earth is flat. Kyrie Irving. We trust and verify that the earth is round, but in the summer of 2018, baseball is flat, even when you have a worthy first-place team with a raft of all-star talent. How about that column by Dan Shaughnessy?
Very impressive. I will admit, though, I still think a pitcher that gets 10 strikeouts a game, I still kind of hold that in high regard.
I hold it in high regard because starters aren't usually around long enough to get 10. But how many games, when it's over with, have there been double digits by the staff? I mean, double digits by the staff. Getting 10, 12 strikeouts, again, you got a lot of guys only going six innings, so that is impressive. But there are too many of them. Way too many. I'm going to talk about that. I got a lot to talk about in this, and we got Phil Savage today. I've got numbers. I've got all sorts of stuff here I want to go through here because they've got to figure out some things about a sport I love because they've let it get out of control and they put it into the hands of some, not all, but some of the wrong people. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to this day in sports history, and then some numbers. Arthur Ashe, 1943, the first African-American inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame, was born on this date. He won 33 career titles. Sugar Ray Robinson was defeated for only the second time in 133 fights as Randy Turpin took the middleweight crown in 1951. 133 fights. Eight different fighters now combined for 133 fights, not one guy. 1984. Doc Gooden of the Mets became the youngest player to appear in the All-Star game at the age of 19 years, 7 months, and 24 days. 1999, the U.S. women's soccer team defeated China to win the 1999 World Cup. That is this day in sports history. All right. Dan Shaughnessy's column about baseball. No, I love baseball. Football, baseball, basketball. You know, I love all sports. Just enjoy it. Let's start with numbers. Average family of four, when they put everything together between tickets and parking, if you want to get a little quick bite to eat, will spend $443.93 at a sporting event. For the Chicago Bears to go to a Bears game, that's the highest number, $685.10 for a family of four. In Major League Baseball, the most expensive team is to go to Fenway Park and see the Red Sox. For a family of four, $360.66. The New York Knicks are the most expensive team in the NBA to go see, $676.42. And no surprise, in the NHL, the most expensive game to go to is the Toronto Maple Leafs game at $572.58. Right now in the NBA, in the last 12 years, their attendance is up 2%, 17,830. The NHL is even where they were 12 years ago, 17,446, so there's just a couple either way. MLS is up 35%, up to 22,106. The NFL actually has seen, since 2010, a 5% increase in attendance, 67,405. Right? The Steelers played in 98.9% of capacity this past season. The Eagles played to 103% of capacity. Baseball is down 7% in attendance from the year before. Thirteen teams in the NFL had 100% or better on attendance. In baseball, the Phillies are up 825 fans per game. They're playing well. Their fans know it. They're into it. They're enjoying it. And if the Phillies keep playing well, that number is going to go up. The Pirates? Well, the Pirates are in that category of teams that play bad baseball that Dan Shaughnessy was talking about. Maybe not to the level of the Orioles of 41 games under or the Chicago White Sox or the Kansas City Royals, but the Pirates are right now a bastion of mediocrity. And the fans are telling them that they are. They are down 293,000 fans this year. They're down an average of 6,513 a game.
It's a beautiful night in Pittsburgh last night. They didn't even get 20,000 in there.
Nope. To see an interesting team in the Nationals. Okay, the Penguins play to 101% of the capacity. The Flyers play to 99.9%. Now, obviously, the arenas are smaller, more compact, but, you know, and especially the NHL, they need the attendance more than any other sport. Where are we in college football? There are factors in college football I think we've got to talk about that are never talked about. It's always just a bland number. Okay, so college football drew 42,203 per game last season. That's the lowest attendance in years. Okay.
But remember, when you compare the numbers to a dozen years ago, okay, they're drawing 3,700 fewer. But there were 120 teams back 12 years ago. There are 129 now. The nine that were added did not bring with them 80,000-seat stadiums. The nine that were added in Division I are playing in stadiums of between 30 and 40,000. A smaller stadium. So they're not going to up the attendance. In fact, 30 schools last year actually saw their attendance go up. Penn State was fifth among that group. Penn State last year had an increase of 6,450 fans per game. They were third in attendance behind Michigan and Ohio State at an average of 106,707. And Penn State last year was fifth overall, playing before 1,146,641 fans. Okay, the SEC attendance down. Big Ten, slightly down. Big 12, significantly down, 6,000 fans a game. Pac-12 down, 4,000 fans a game. ACC down, 3,000 fans a game. Now, some of these, remember, there have been expansions in these leagues over the last dozen years, so the numbers get a bit skewed. Take the Big Ten, for example. They added Maryland and Rutgers. Rutgers has 52,000 seats. Maryland has 48. That's not going to up your average attendance. College basketball. Big Ten slightly down. ACC slightly up in 12 years. SEC down. Big 12 really down. Couple thousand fans a game, and Pac-12 even in terms of college basketball numbers. All right. Revenue. The stated goal of Roger Goodell is to have the NFL at $25 billion. They're at $13 billion right now. $7.2 billion comes from television. The television ratings last year, as we know, were down 10% on Sunday Night Football. They were down 6% on Monday Night Football. Fox was down 9%. CBS down 11%. The average age of an NFL viewer is 50. In 2006, the average age was 46. The NBA, $5.2 billion in revenue. That's what they're worth. $2.6 billion, half of it comes from TV. In 2006, the average age of an NBA watcher was 40. Today, the average age of an NBA watcher is 42. The NBA Finals had a 10.0 this past spring. Back in 2010, it was 10.6. So it's right in the neighborhood. Depends on the matchup. The NHL is a $3.7 billion industry, of which $600 million comes from television. The average viewer in 2006 of an NHL game was 42. The average age of an NHL viewer today is 49. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals had a 2.7 rating. 12 years ago, it was 1.8, so it's doing okay. The Premier League is a $5.3 billion industry. MLS is $461 million, $90 million of which is from TV. The average age of a soccer watcher, 40 right now. In 2006, it was 39, so about the same. Should be pointed out that of those who watch MLS, in the world of soccer, MLS makes up only 6% of the viewers. The rating in 2006 for MLS was 0.2. The rating in 2018 for MLS is 0.2. The PGA Golf Tour, the average age of a viewer was 59 in 2006. Now the average age on the PGA Tour is 64. And now we get to baseball. Baseball is a $9.5 billion industry, very healthy, of which $1.5 billion is from national TV contracts. The average age of a baseball viewer in 2006 was 53. Now that average age is 57, second only to the PGA Tour. The average age of a college football viewer, 52. 2006, it was 48. College basketball, 52. Average age in 2006 was 47. College football, ABC went down 18% in ratings. CBS was down 10%. ESPN down 6%, NBC down 3%, Fox Sports 1 up 4%, Fox Sports up 23%. That means the Big Ten has arrived. That's what all these numbers are telling you. Okay? Action means something. In the NBA, let's start with soccer. Right now, France is leading Belgium 1-0. They're early in the second half, right? Okay. In soccer, even though there aren't a lot of shots on goal, and even though they'll retreat to reset and then go, the ball is always moving. It's always moving. The ball in soccer is always moving. In hockey, the puck and the players are always moving. In the NBA, there may be times of, you know, where in the 24-second clock, okay, they're trying to set something up in a two-man game, but guess what? The ball is still always moving. And the NFL, between plays and replays, the perception is there's always something going on. Even the PGA Tour, when someone's done with a shot, they go to the next shot. They go to the next shot. Rarely do you see guys walking for 3 minutes between shots. Rarely do you see conferences with caddies that last more than 30 seconds. If it's not there and they're not ready, I'm going to go to 16 because I've got Mickelson over here with a wedge. Hey, Mickelson is his wedge. Oh, Bubba's over here. He's now playing 17. He's got driver. So there's constant action. And then there's baseball. They seem to think in baseball that no action is okay. The ball is not constantly moving in baseball. People aren't moving in baseball. There's very little movement in baseball. And that's one of the issues. Analytics has certain things that are wrong. They are wrong. I don't care about exit velocity. If the ball's hit out of the park, guess what? What assumption I make? It was hit hard. Okay. Okay. Launch angle means nothing. If it cleared the fence, it obviously was high enough. This is not the movie Major League. It's too high. It's too high. What do you mean it's too high? As it sails over their heads. Okay. Means nothing. WAR. Wins above replacement. Means nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Means nothing. I can see with my eyes who's better. I don't need a number. I can see. Mike Trout. Good. I think Mike Trout's pretty good. You have any Mookie Betts? Looks pretty good to me. We're not dumb. I don't need a number. Right? And then this absurdity that's really hurting the game. Is strikeouts are just like any other out. No, they're not. Okay? You've got players now that they don't care if they strike out. To them, it's like grounding out to short because that's what they've been told. Grounding out to short and a strikeout are the same thing. No, it is not. Putting the ball in play puts the defense at risk to make a play. Striking out puts no risk on the defense at all. Zero. You put the ball in play. Maybe it's a slow roller. Maybe they can't handle it. Maybe they make an error. Something crazy happens. You force them to make a play. Striking out forces them to do nothing. You force the defense to do zero. Runner on second and nobody out. Hit the ball to the right side. Move the runner over. You put the ball in play. You've now set up somebody else to drive in the run. If they shift on you, bunt. And keep bunting until they stop the shift. Because guess what? If you put down five successful bunts, they all count as if you line the ball into left center field for a base hit. The same number. 5 for 5 is 5 for 5. And guess what? They then have to stop shifting. And the second they shift, you bunt again, and guess what? They can't shift. But everything is about launch angle, pull, launch angle, pull. I'll say this, Dickerson for the Pirates, a beautiful player to watch. Beautiful player to watch. He gets 2 strikes. He uses the whole field. Beautiful player to watch. Look, I love home runs like anybody else, believe me. Aaron Judge, Stanton, J.D. Martinez, Trout, Mookie Betts, Reese Hoskins. Home runs are great. But there are too many times where none of that's happening. It's a complete all risk. If it doesn't happen, there's no reward. I mean, they're just trying to, like, everything's got to be one big play all the time. And the Kansas City Royals won the World Championship in 2015 with pure speed and pitching. Now, one issue, of course, is that you do have so many guys that throw between 95 and 99 now. I mean, you do have a lot of that. You can get to the 6th, 7th, and 8th, 9th innings. You can throw out one guy after another that's 93 to 95. No, I mean, 95 to 99. It used to be that the average fastball, on an average, on a scout's rating list, was 90 to 92. I've now been told by a scout that they have to put down 93 to 95 as the average, as an average fastball. 93 to 95 is now, according to a scout, now is what they list as an average fastball. So they are throwing it harder. So if there's not going to be a rule about shifting, okay, be smarter and bunt. I'll give you a good example. Jackie Bradley Jr., 200 hitter. Now, a couple of years ago, he hit 24 home runs. He had a really good season a couple of years ago. Made the All-Star game, the whole deal. And, you know, and as a fielder, he is just a brilliant, brilliant center fielder. He's the best I've seen in Boston since Fred Lynn. But he gets up every single time, and it's turn, pull, turn, pull, turn, pull. Jackie Bradley Jr.'s got speed. If they're going to play the third baseman over there near the shortstop, bunt. And keep bunting until they stop shifting. You'd be stunned. Where they're looking around and saying, kids, guess what? If a walk is as good as a hit, so's a bunt. And who knows? They may charge, the pitcher may go over, charge it, and throw the thing away, and suddenly you're at second base. It's amazing what you can do when the ball is in play. And there are too many people so married to numbers. And I am somebody who loves stats. But analytics have been around since the day somebody said that if you got 3 hits and 10 at-bats, it's a 300 average. That's an analytic. Let's not pretend they're reinventing the wheel, but they're also taking it to extremes, and they're hurting the game, and it's not right. And John Smoltz and I are on the same page with that. John Smoltz railed on this the other night, and he not only is correct, he is absolutely correct. This game is so much better when parts are moving. Watching a guy go out there and pump, you know, it's strikeouts just like any other out. No, it's not. If you put the ball in play, the defense now is at risk and has to make a play. A strikeout does not put the defense at any risk at all. And for some reason, nobody points that out. And, oh, no, strikeout's like any other out. No, it's not like any other out. Hey, in fact, anybody who strikes out ought to do what the Taylor kid did for Washington last night. He took his bat and started smacking it around in the dugout last night because he was so mad he struck out. Now, that's dangerous, and he shouldn't have done that. But you know what? Part of me said, good for you. I'm glad you were mad you struck out. Because right now it's like, it's like I grounded out the second. No, it's not. I mean, 21 out of 30 teams are behind in attendance, and TV ratings are down. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.